Wow, we have. What is our show, Ted?
I don't know. It's like Geeks Rewired or something. Yep. We talk about like the Internet of Things and TLDR stuff. I really haven't like memorized your intro, to be honest.
Yeah, it's the video games, comic books, and TLDR, the Internet of Things.
And movies.
And movies, yeah.
Jeez, you got it wrong, too.
It's pretty close. It's like 85%. How much?
To be fair, he has it written down and he reads it every week.
Fresh guys haven't noticed.
Yeah,
I know. I noticed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your TV. There you go.
So there you go. There's the introduction for the Geeks of Word podcast.
Exactly.
It's a great podcast.
It was a good intro.
Yes. So who do we have this week? We have Ted.
Obviously.
Yes. And Anna.
Yes, I'm here too.
And Jordan.
Yep.
And Joe.
Yep.
Yay.
That's it.
That's it. Nobody else.
I know. No one else.
No one else matters.
Definitely not Bill.
Nope. Not a Bill.
Not a Bill. And Dr. Briefs, Bulma's dad, is not on this podcast either.
No.
Bill, people should know you're always here.
I'm on every episode.
I know. If you're not here, then no one's here.
Then the recording didn't happen. Or yeah. Something really bad happened. I don't know. Don't
want to think about broke that. Into your house.
Gave you the keys.
Stole your recording stuff.
You know, I just was reading Terry Pratchett and it made me think, what does it all mean, really? All this, what does it mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, in Pratchett's book, Small Gods, it does mean something.
Yeah, it's meaningless. In the face of an infinite timeline, everything is meaningless.
That's not what he says.
Well, he's wrong.
You would say you're wrong.
Yeah, I know, but he's wrong.
Okay, I just got to... I don't know where I was going with that, actually. I just threw that out there.
It's about the survival of keeping the machine on so our existence isn't blipped out of existence.
I actually have been thinking about the meaning of life a lot lately because I've been... soul searching, hitting my midlife crisis. No, I just listen to people debate about religion and stuff. They talk about it a lot. So.
Are you turning 42?
Yeah.
Ted, do you
he's
ever
getting closer?
Oh.
Do you ever think of the meaning of life?
That's where I thought you were going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My syntax is off today.
I apologize. No, I hadn't thought about it. I might have to think about it, and then I'll think about thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough.
Ted, is a red Corvette calling to you?
No, so I bought a Subaru. I got a tattoo. I finished college and got a career. This is like the worst midlife crisis ever. depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
So.
You got a kitten about 3 weeks
ago? Oh, yeah,
ago.
I got a little kitty. I named him Bucket. He's so cute.
Everyone's getting animals.
By the way, Bucket is the best name for an animal ever. Just FYI.
He's a cute little black kitty.
He does
really?
Not photograph very well.
Yeah.
It's just like a black dot. You can see his eyes.
Keep telling everyone to work that. You know, they think it's okay.
Yeah.
You're like, it's right there. Point.
I promise. They're like, Ted, you need a kid. And I'm like, yeah.
They're overrated.
You can get them underground.
No. You just go to your local... farm, pick up a goat.
Yeah,
and there you go. You got yourself a kid.
Anna doesn't want to buy a baby on the black market. I've asked.
That's why you
open
get yourself
to
a
it.
Goat. Totally safe.
I don't have a place to keep a goat.
Oh, well then you don't need a kid.
Yeah.
If you're going to go through the black market, you don't want to get a baby because you don't know what will happen afterwards. Like, they may be a poor child. So you want to wait until they're like 3 or 4 years old. So that, like, you know whether they're super smart or not.
Or I could, like, adopt an 18-year-old.
You could do that, but they're less reliable because they have, like, you haven't had time to mold them to your will.
Yeah, but they're done. So.
They're done.
You send them away.
Yeah.
Go to college. I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
You don't know if that being done is advantageous to you in any way.
I mean, they can call me and I'll bail them out of jail or whatever,
I don't know if that'll be enough to get in their will, though.
Exactly. That's the entire
purpose.
But you
need to be in their will, isn't it? Then they're supposed to be in his will.
I plan them outliving me.
Yeah.
So they got to kiss up to get my money. and I'm bringing home, like, programmer money. So I got a room at home just full of money. I just swim around.
Mr. Scrooge McDuck over here.
Yeah. But it's not as big because it's just a room. But
did you hear what they're doing at D23, the next Disney event? They're filling up a giant room with balls, and you can jump into it like a Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, and go swimming through it?
Yes.
Are they going to be gold balls?
I don't think you can swim through it, and you just sink to the bottom, and I wonder how much oxygen makes its way down there. There's
just
dead
just
people
little,
at the bottom.
You know, what are plastic balls?
Yeah, but I'm saying that I don't think the airflow is very good, especially if it's a tall room.
Not true.
Not a lot of oxygen circulating.
So there's just like four dead people down there.
Okay, it depends how deep it is. I know that it's Disney. They're going to figure it out, and if they fail at it, they'll just throw Disney money at it, and it'll be okay.
That's like I saw a video of these people that had the great idea of putting a fog machine over a pool, and the pool just kind of kept all the fog there, and like people started suffocating.
That's as bad as people to do it. They threw dry ice into the pool, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a bad idea. Don't do that. It will kill you.
Both of those ideas. Electricity and water don't mix. Dry ice and bare, you know, a skin at any point don't mix.
It's problematic.
Yeah.
I use dry ice to remove calluses. Is that bad?
Well, that makes sense, actually, but probably you're giving it a purpose. Kind of like.
Do you ever, think about the meaning of dry ice on your callus?
Do you ever think about the meaning of dry ice on your callus?
How do you think your callus feels about the dry ice?
Probably pretty bad. Like, because.
Taking it out.
To the callus, it is the Holocaust.
Well, unless it's a suicidal callus. It's like, my purpose is unwanted, like the unnecessary existence. And so they recognize that. And
was it like, I'm Mr. Callus, look at me.
But isn't it dead skin? Therefore, you're just more like, you know, shifting the grave around.
And being dead skin, it doesn't actually think and contemplate. That's a good point. Probably doesn't feel anything.
Let's probably get into our first topic.
All right.
Okay.
Keratin?
Nope.
Why is everybody grossed out by keratin?
Nope.
I'm not grossed out by it.
But something else from that great country of Japan. Nintendo.
What does Japan have to do with fingernails and hair?
No, not keratin. Yeah, keratin is Kakarot. You were going with that earlier. Fine.
Not on the podcast.
Oh. Well, you too. You said trunks. Or Mr. Pants, I guess. Never mind. Fine. We'll move on. I quit. Podcast over.
Yeah, don't don't let the door hit you on the way out, Bill.
Click. All right, so we can go to Nintendo. They are going to start charging. Right now their online service to play with friends and family and all that, wherever, is free, but they are going to start charging $27 a year.
Oh, that's not bad.
Or if that's a little high for you, you can pay a monthly fee. Of what is it? $5.95 a month, or a three month fee of $11.95.
Do you ever feel like we're getting nickeled and dimed to death? Like, so I got a new phone. It has visual voicemail. I can remove the ads for 50 cents a month. Like, it's just 50 cents. Why not have ads in my voicemail? I mean,
what do you use for visual voicemail?
Visual voicemail. It's on the Sprint thing. It's just on the phone. Came on the phone.
That's
I'm going to download the Google thing. I just haven't bothered yet.
Google Voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, like, hey, 50 cents, you know, no big deal. I'll just get another subscription. If I want to play World of Warcraft, I'll just get a subscription for that. I get Netflix. I got Hulu. I got, you know, HBO Go when Game of Thrones comes out. I got an Xbox. I got a PlayStation. I got a Nintendo. I mean, every little bit. Just the next thing you know, I'm begging on the street.
Well, Xbox is actually okay. So there to play online, Xbox has their annual thing or their online stuff. You get you get four free games a month. They actually just give you. You get these games permanently. They're always yours, no matter even if you shut up your account. Xbox is starting up this month. They're paying an additional $10. Here's your nickel and diming.
Yeah.
And they're going to start doing what PlayStation has, which means here's a bunch of games.
Yeah,
as long as
you
subscribe, you play. If these games are online games, you need to have the Xbox Gold account.
Yeah.
Nintendo's is, they're going to start next year, start charging this if you want to play online.
So Super Smash Brothers Online, you're just hosed.
Yep.
Can you do a direct connection with friends?
Probably, yeah. Actually, it sounds you still could.
Without the paying.
Yeah, because they were not going to their servers then.
Well, the thing that really irritates me about all this, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
fine.
I have I have opinions about this because it's white people problems, but
well, wait, but first you world might enjoy this a little bit more. There's
okay,
one more
go
thing.
Ahead, go ahead.
It's
okay.
Also like the PlayStation one where you get a bunch of games included with this price. So this is the cheapest, most return out of all of the consoles.
Yeah. So I loaded up Anna's account on my PlayStation 3 to watch Netflix just because that happened to be the one that selected, and I just hit the X button. In order to watch Netflix, you have to be logged into the PlayStation account. You don't have to pay for the PlayStation account. But in order to watch Netflix, you have to be logged into a PlayStation account. It will not let me watch Netflix or YouTube or any other thing that accesses the internet unless I'm also connected to the PlayStation account, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And
see, at least you have that. The Xbox, yeah. You can't even actually use the Xbox without an Xbox account. Or a Microsoft account.
Yeah, but I mean, like, being logged into it. Like, I can understand needing to sign up to, like...
But aren't you...
Get updates and stuff like that. And it was just that I connected to her profile instead of my profile, and for some reason it wouldn't log our Xbox account or the PlayStation account in through hers. But that's the reason that I'll never buy another Xbox, is because... When I got mine and I tried to, like, watch Netflix or YouTube on there, I had to pay
the gold
to use the internet. They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't
and
do
that
anymore.
I understand that, but I'm never going to buy another Xbox again because of that bullcrap. So,
oh.
But, yeah, like, it's really irritating that I have to, like, sign in on their stuff so I can use stuff that doesn't have anything to do with them. Like, really frustrating.
They have to monitor you.
Like, I could see YouTube in the back, and it had loaded up, and it was fine. It was there, and there was stuff playing, but it brought up the little login screen, and when I hit cancel, because it wasn't working, it wouldn't let you do it. And if their service is down for some reason, or, like, in the future, when their service no longer exists, in that instance, the console's just worthless, and that's just the dumbest thing. I mean, it's not completely worthless. I can still play the games on it, but I use my PlayStation for Netflix more than anything else.
I'm actually curious how much of the Xbox one there is, because I can still log in without having to be online, and
you should try just watching Netflix without being logged into their account.
I don't know if you can use, like, the Xbox without being
turning it on. Yeah,
yeah, see? Like it has
mine
to have
automatically signs you in.
Well, it auto signs you in, sign but you in. Like change your password online. And then see what happens. Like, try to use.
Okay, no, actually,
Netflix.
There is a way to. No, look, there's a way to log out. But yeah, it might not. Yeah, I think you're right. It might not let me
and
do
that's
anything.
That's ridiculous. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. There's no reason for that crap.
Because I don't even think it will let you play games or anything. Like, it is an absolute nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And, I mean, we just put up with it, and they keep doing it because we just put up with it, and they're just, so, like, one step closer to, you know, this total control over the console, and it has to do with the whole
theirs.
Like, no, it's not. It's mine.
I don't know. It's their software.
It's loaded on my machine. It's my software.
According to the user agreement, you know that one thing you never read?
You scan through and hit X. Yeah.
No, the one thing that nobody ever read?
Yeah. Yeah, because you already paid, what, $400 for this piece of crap, and now... You gonna take it back? No, you're not gonna take it back. They can put whatever they want in there. But if it's illegal, it can't be enforced. We just need to change the laws. Anyways, my rant's over.
Alright.
Nintendo, Super Smash Brothers, you get what you used to get for free for a charge now because their servers cost money. And I'm down with that. I can understand that. And I'm fine with that.
And that's why I don't have any problems with the annual fees. You know, even though Microsoft never really gave anything, they've been putting all this money back into the servers. And it's been showing, it showed so much that PlayStation decided to start charging because Microsoft was, you know, putting so much into it and becoming such a better online, you know, connections and everything. Nintendo just realized they need to do the same thing, but they don't need to invest as much.
Yeah. And the thing is like, you know, I used to play Counter-Strike a lot back in the day. And there was no Steam server or Valve server that you could really play on. You had to host your own stuff. And, you know, that bandwidth isn't free, so, you know, I'm completely sensitive to that, because, you know, I paid other people to pay the bills to buy the machine and to deal with the bandwidth usage every month so that I could have a Counter-Strike server that I played on, so...
So So I thought
this isn't much different.
I said the wrong price. There's been three updates to this price.
is it no $50 longer, now?
No, it's now $29.95.
See, so it begins already. They haven't even launched it.
It was 20 the first time I saw it. Then it was 27. 20. Now it's 30.
Yeah, exactly.
But still for a year.
No,
terrible.
It's too late. That $2 broke me. I'm done buying consoles. Actually, I don't even use my consoles other than like to watch Netflix. I haven't loaded up my Wii U. Like we did when my mom was there. We played Mario Party. Anna did. I didn't. She played video games with my mom.
I was using the Xbox Fitness. It was fun, and then I found out they're going to shut it down, and I'm kind of sad.
You know, you can just go to the gym. I get it. I'm sorry. I don't know why I suggested that.
I'm okay with my Xbox watching me exercise. I'm not okay with other people watching me exercise.
Guys, we should all go to the gym. I have become an exercise fiend.
Well,
seriously.
You're a fiend.
An exercise fiend.
Yeah, I'm a fiend in all things.
How many times
today.
Have you been now?
Twice.
Called it.
I don't know if that's fiend levels.
Going for my third time tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Is this third time in the last 10 years?
Ah, that's a close approximation.
Yes.
But yeah, it's intimidating because I use the ISU gym, and so that's one of those gyms where you feel like you need to have the preparatory gym before that gym, just so you don't feel totally outclassed.
It's got all the youngsters running around.
It does.
With their perfect form bodies.
You got the alums, too, because if you're part of the alumni association, you get, if you pay for that, you get the gym's pretty reasonably priced monthly. It's like $20 or something like that.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, you might, if you go different times, you might just see a bunch of old people, because all alums are old.
I see some old people scattered among, as Joe said, the finely sculpted youth of our day.
That's right.
Who
I like to call them munchkins.
The munchkins.
The little people.
Who lived way more than I can.
Yeah, you're not too bad looking yourself. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves,
I try to keep up appearances,
You're not taking your shirt off to exercise anytime soon?
Not yet.
Jordan,
no.
You do the 21 Jump Street and tell everyone you're 19. Do the Jonah Hill thing.
I do that, yeah. It's like, I'm 19 even though I look like I'm pretty much my age.
Are you on the CW show?
Yeah, no.
Like, hey, guys.
CW high school.
I can't live with the illusion that I look young because I don't get carded anymore. That's when you know, nope, don't look young.
So I took my little brother to Vegas for his 21st birthday. It was a little bit afterwards, but everywhere we got alcohol, I made him buy it, and nobody carded him, not one single time. Oh. He's like, the one time he did get carded, it was because he used his debit card, because he was just using cash that I'd give him, because I'm not a monster. I paid for the alcohol.
Yeah.
But, the only time he got carded, it was because he used his debit card at a restaurant, and they wanted to see his ID to make sure it matched his debit card.
Poor kid. You are old enough too.
Yeah.
No, I did my first bench press in a long time, and I was proud of where I got.
Five pounds?
Again, you're close. I lifted the bar and an additional 50 pounds on that bar.
Nice.
So
I don't know how big the bar is, but that's at least 10 times as much as I
said.
50
pounds
on
the bar? Isn't the bar like 60 pounds?
No, the bar is 45.
45?
Wait, that's what I was going to say. So you had 50 pounds including the bar?
No, on top of the bar.
So it's 95 pounds.
That's not bad. Why didn't you
it
go the extra five?
Bad.
Like, seriously.
Because
you couldn't do the extra 5 pounds to just make it an even 100?
If the bar weighed 50, it would be worth it.
What I wanted not to do was be one of those people who was struggling awkwardly because I didn't have a spotter, as I could not lift the bar from strangling me. So, yeah.
No, you just tip it off to the side.
I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. There were women watching. It was already humiliating enough with the very paltry amount of weight on that bar.
You die for your pride.
I think
exactly.
I think you're overthinking this.
Nope.
Yeah. So did you work yourself up to the 225s on the side, or did you just start with that and stay with that?
I started with the bar and then went to the 225s.
Okay.
And, I just did two of those. And then, because I had to max myself out, then I went with the dumbbells.
Okay.
You could have just made one of the already perfectly sculpted men more attractive to their perfectly sculpted female companion, where he's like, saving scrawny weaklings is what I do, babe. And he just lifts it up while you're all sitting there struggling. He's like, yeah. It's okay, little champ. And he's like 20 years old.
Pat you on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But that was a possible scenario because it's happened to me before where I am too ambitious with the bench press and it's not a fun experience.
No, see, you just let this weight sit on your chest and you kind of take the concept, okay, what am I going to do? Do I either drop it or do I pull everything I have together and get this thing up? Or are people suddenly going to look around and somebody's going to, a couple of guys are going to be able to help me? I've had literally all three situations.
Yeah, the ideal situation is to pump not overshoot and just
do
kind
it
of
properly.
Get less weight rather than more weight, and yeah, go for
but
that.
Bro, how you get big, bro?
Yeah.
Get big by, well, for me, either accurately assessing, because that was my first time. In a long time.
I was thinking that your arms look bigger, like your biceps looked to look a little bit bigger today. So
that's what I'm going for. Yeah. Like I'm actually flexing this entire
time.
Look,
it's just like the veins popping out in your arm too.
Can you show us where the other rooms are? Like over there.
No.
Flexing point.
You know, and when I was lifting the bar, I did the.
So what you're saying is you really raised the bar there.
I raised the bar in a literal
Jordan.
And actually.
Jordan, was that right?
What?
Yeah, Jordan. Jordan. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Props.
That's you guys right. Are on opposite sides, so it's confusing for me. I had to think about it.
So Jordan, you are sitting on the opposite end.
Yeah. So my friends, I have problems with right and left too. And my friend's sister, I was looking at her tattoos, and she's got stars on the underside of her arm, kind of by her wrist, and there's a star on each one, and it has an R and an L on her right and her left so that she can tell the difference. She's got a little cheat sheet. And I was, like, thinking of doing it, like, in the webbing between my thumb and the rest of my hand. So I could, like, hide it in interviews or whatever and just be like, yep, left this way.
Actually, I've heard about that, the idea of people with the head problems, because it's supposed to be your hand makes the L.
But that's stupid. If you don't know your right from your left, you probably don't know which way the L goes.
This is they know the L. But here's the other thing. This looks like the cursive L, the way it kind of lays out on your right hand.
The thing is so I used to have to put up the sign for the gas station at which I worked. And the letters, because it was clear background with a black letter on it, and so it could go either way. And, like, until I figured out that this, like, the part that... the letter was actually stuck to, mm-hmm. that you could feel the ridges on, went facing the sign, I'd get people telling me that there was letters backwards on the sign all the time. And, like, sometimes they'd be straight, but they knew that I put them on backwards sometimes, and they'd tell me they were backwards just to see if I'd go swap them, and I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just not good at that, whatever.
Yeah. So you always put hay in your foot.
Yeah.
You know, that field is Civil War. So they got them to march. They put hay in their feet, in one of their shoes.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
So you march hay, but so hay, other.
Oh.
Hay. So it's left, right, left. Hay.
Oh, that's weird. Huh.
Hay, not hay.
Yep, exactly.
My friend's lady friend just says, you're gonna want to turn, and then she'll either say her name or his name.
My way or their way.
Yeah, so she'll be like, her name's Sam and his name's Joey, and she'll be like, you need to turn Joey up here. And he's just like, oh, okay, that means left. Right, left.
You're correct.
Yeah.
Yes, left. You're correct this time.
Yeah, he's driving.
All right, we'll go into new security on new phones. So we've had swiping to unlock your phone. We've had combinations to unlock your phone.
Fingerprints,
sometimes voice now.
Bluetooth items.
Oh, yep.
You known can Bluetooth them. Items. So
some
you
proximities.
Your Fitbit to unlock your phone.
Yeah, locations,
for example,
all that.
Or a speaker or your car.
Well, Samsung was going, we have the greatest thing ever. It is an iris. It looks at your eye and it knows it's you and it unlocks your phone.
I thought you had to show it a flower.
That's right.
You had to pick a flower for it and show it.
Yeah, and it says, I approve.
Yeah. So, the phone that first went on was the one that exploded a lot. So it kind of went away for a while. But now they've re-released it. And people have already broken it.
With hacking it?
No. You take a picture of somebody's eye, and you put a contact over that, and you show the phone that, and it unlocks.
Ah.
So they've hacked it. They didn't. Well, they broke the security.
They social engineered it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking that with 3D printers and high-resolution photos, it should be possible to take a picture of someone's keys and get into whatever those keys unlock.
Yeah.
Because you should be able to just look at them. Like your basic house key, you should be able to just copy that with a photo.
Yeah.
With a high-res photo and a sufficient computer program. And if I was motivated and had a 3D printer, I'd probably do it. Because the printers usually, they come in such a way that the material can just be like dissolved with like alcohol, rubbing alcohol or something like that. So you could do the same thing. You could just make a cast of it and then just pour rubbing alcohol in there, and then you could like put like a metal in there and cast it that way and then make a key.
They actually have that feature in the next Elder Scrolls game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where you take a picture of a photo and
3D printing.
Are you talking about the ESO or online one? Or?
I was making a joke.
Oh.
You're too excited, Bill.
I can't wait.
No, Morrowind Online is coming out. I was like, yes! I got to pre-buy that one.
Elder Scrolls, Bill.
Yeah, but if Bethesda is listening, there's your idea.
Yeah.
Probably more fits.
Break
in
your cotton. I know, exactly.
But yeah.
A 3D printer in my little hut.
It'll
the
be
village.
The crossover.
Yeah.
The Fallout Skyrim.
Well, they did have like a, on Skyrim, there was the wax key. So if you leveled up your lockpick all the way, you could get it to the point where like, if you pick the lock, you get a wax key for that. Which was kind of weird. I guess you could relock it or something.
Well, I don't remember because I screwed over
but
on
it
that
it also
game.
Meant that you could access that area quite a bit faster. So like a certain castle or stuff.
Well, once you unlock a lock, you don't need to.
But no, sometimes you leave and you come back and somebody's locked at the door behind you.
Oh, jerks.
I know.
Bill, so, I have a question. Like, you love Skyrim and Fallout so much. I don't understand how you can't be so super obsessive about Zelda. Like, well, this entire podcast,
I've enjoyed Zelda actually quite a bit.
It's such an amazing game. I love that game.
It's actually, I kind of wish Skyrim was your Elder Scrolls
more
was
like
more
that.
Portable. Actually,
oh, yeah.
Because I do enjoy that about you know Zelda is the portability of it on the Switch, and I mean, you know, I totally was playing. I'm like, this is literally a Nintendo Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, yeah.
He plays it at work. I see him.
Oh, do you?
So Adam,
good
if you're
you,
listening.
Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do like the portability feature, and I generally am opposed to portable consoles, but I don't know, there's an appeal to it.
I got a portable console right here.
I know,
yeah.
I'm
cell
opposed
phone.
To it. Yeah. I'm opposed to it. I have one, but I'm opposed to it.
Your cell phone is not a smartphone, is it? Did you get a smartphone?
Well, I've had a smartphone for a while. It's just
I thought you had a flip phone before.
Well, I have a flip phone too.
No, just wait till he loses this one, then he'll be back to the flip phone.
I think not.
You're not gonna lose this one?
I'm pretty cautious about it.
Okay.
I'm good at not losing.
Looks
things.
Like a little brick. It's what is that, like 40 years old?
It's a Nokia.
Is it?
I don't know. I can't. I can
no,
barely
it's
see
a
it.
Track phone.
I was just gonna say it looks like it says track on the front of it.
It is a Alcatel One Touch.
Why does that say Android?
Android, yes. Because it has the awesome Android software.
My sister had a car that had a radio in it that was branded Spark-O-Matic. Like they were like, we're gonna make really cheap crap. We're just gonna call it Spark-O-Matic. Super, super great. So we've been watching a lot of movies lately, haven't we?
Yep. We should probably. Yeah, why not? We'll go to our sponsor. We'll talk some movies, and see what you guys think about some of this. So our sponsor is AMC Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue, and they have their Stubbs program, which helps us get cheaper. Drinks and popcorn and
Ann and I, every time we go there to buy tickets, they're like, you got $7 you could use, and then the next time they're like, you got $10 you can use, And they keep, like, increasing the amount. And we're like, one of these days, it's just going to be free. We're, I was thinking if we, as much as we go, we've went, what, three times in the last week?
Yeah, it's been three times this week.
As much as we go, we'll probably be able to buy the theater by the end of the year. So that'll be nice.
Yeah.
And when we do have enough to buy the theater, we'll invite you all to come.
Sweet. That'd Thank be appreciative.
You. Watch a movie at double price.
Ooh. I'll have to use my, I'll do it my points and then buy it from you.
Your points will no longer be valid.
Ah, oh, drat.
That's the first thing I'm going to do. Close that loophole.
All right. We'll talk about some movies. Before we talk about the ones you watched, we'll talk about Vin Diesel is supposed to play Venom.
I groaned when I first heard that, but you know what? I really don't dislike Vin Diesel. He's just an action star. I just don't know how much nuance he's going to bring to the
role.
He's going to bring about as much as Groot.
Yeah, exactly.
You've already seen what he can do. Groot.
He's Groot.
That's what he can do. I am Groot.
That's the only reason I didn't mind that. Yeah.
Well, okay, do you know about, like, Eddie Brock, the big old jock that originally got Venom, and
he fits the profile.
Yeah,
isn't he too old though?
So this is not high school time period. Oh, I forgot to mention that great part. This has nothing to do with the Spider-Verse.
Oh, so it's just going to be a standalone
this
movie.
This is a Venom. This is a Venom universe. Movie.
Is it Sony? What?
It's Sony. And they plan on making more.
I really thought this was interesting. You just said, isn't he too old? And then, like, people were complaining that Marissa Tormey looked too young. Like, but she's, like, 62.
No, she's not.
She's not that old. Yeah.
She's in her 50s.
She'd be old enough to be the Aunt May for the high school one.
52?
Yeah, 52 sounds...
She's 14 years older than me. Yeah, 52. Sorry, I was off by 10 years. I apologize, Marissa, since I know you listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways...
Yeah, why are they doing that, though? Why won't they have Venom be with the current Spider-Man? Why are they doing another timeline?
I don't know. I have no clue why they decided to take this off, whether Disney didn't approve it. So they're like, we really still want a Venom... Like, they have been wanting a Venom movie. And Venom's popular. It's a good time to have him. Disney doesn't want anything to do with him, I guess.
It's not going to have any Spider-Man in it.
Yeah, which makes it even stupider.
I know.
But, I mean, so you got all this other stuff going on with the Avengers and the Civil War and blah, 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 blah. And if they don't want to put Venom in there, it doesn't make sense to confuse people and have them incorporated with Spider-Man and stuff.
Well, they don't have to.
Is it going to be with this new Spider-Man Homecoming?
No, that's like part of series? The DC. Or that's not. That's part of Disney. That's part of the MCU.
Okay. So which Spider-Man series is it going with?
Venom.
Yeah, it's being its own.
It's its own
divorce
thing.
From Spider-Man.
That's why I'm so confused.
That's why it's stupid.
You know what? They were a really crappy couple to begin with. I'm glad they got divorced.
Yeah.
I don't understand why.
Like, they were just together for the kids. You could tell.
Sony just needs to let Disney, the successful studio, do its thing and then just cash the checks.
Yeah.
Well, they were doing that, but they... Yeah. So you're saying that they should ignore Venom completely?
Yes.
Yeah, if they're going to do it that way, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to confuse people and probably anger them because it sounds like it's going to be awful.
I know. It'll just be Vin Diesel being like... I can't act.
I am Venom.
Where's Spider-Man? I'm going to beat up, like, Carnage. What are they going to do?
What was that? Pitch Black. Did you guys hate Pitch Black?
No, I like Pitch Black.
What about the sequels?
I hated the sequels.
Yeah, the sequels are ridiculous.
I liked the animation. The second actual movie of the trilogy that was going to come out, the Chronicles, I was so-so, and I realized I haven't seen the last one.
Did you play the game Escape from Butcher's?
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
I like it.
It's a movie based off of a video game. Of course it's not good.
It is good.
It's actually
good. The game's really good.
It's a video game based off of a movie.
If it was good, that would create a rift in the space-time continuum.
Yeah, it's Escape from Butcher Bay. It's a good one.
Yeah,
there have
been many rifts already in this multiverse.
No, see, we have defined that movies based off of video games suck, but games based off of movies, not
suck.
All of them suck.
No, they suck too.
Some of them are good.
Which ones? Name one.
Escape from Butcher's Bay.
Okay. Yeah.
Name another one. We always have these anomalies. Name
what? That's one. A game that's based on a movie?
A game based on a movie that's good.
Scott Pilgrim.
And Scott Pilgrim.
And Goldeneye.
Scott Pilgrim, that's a good one.
But yeah, Goldeneye.
Scott Pilgrim was a comic book.
The movie came out first.
Yeah.
Goldeneye?
Goldeneye.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's a good point, but how many video games have based on movies have come out?
That sounds like goalpost movie. Oh, no, there has been established.
You never play a Spider-Man game, because pretty much they always suck. Never play a Dragon Ball game. Pretty much they always suck.
Carnage was fun.
Yeah, the old Sega game. I like that.
Well, that was this Carnage game. Remember? That's different from the
Spider-Man. It's still in the universe.
But comic books. I never said games based on comic books. And one could argue that Scott Pilgrim, it's a continuation of the comic book theme.
You could make the argument, but it's basically the game wouldn't have happened without the movie.
That's probably true, but that's not necessarily based on the movie. It's based on the comic book. I am moving the goalposts. You're right.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, those are good.
All the Lego games are epic.
Yeah. I really like the Lego games. I play it all the time.
And it spends hours in the lobby just breaking the furniture. Just hours upon hours. So like, I got to collect all these things that they drop.
Phil, that's a great example, too. There's a crapload of Star Wars games that are excellent. They're all based on movies.
That's terrible, true. Too.
Yeah, but there's so many. There's a lot. Like, Shadows of the Empire and Battlefronts and all of that.
Knights of the Old Republic.
I wonder if I can revise my hypothesis and save it. It sounds like I'm not going to be able to. You guys are convincing me. I don't want to believe it, but it is sounding true.
Hey, what about the Batman games?
Yeah, there is lots of good Batman games.
But, okay, so...
bringing comic books back in.
Okay, so with the exclusion of the Star Wars, how many of these games are games that don't have a comic book counterpart?
Chronicles of Riddick.
And James Bond.
James Bond.
Goldeneye.
Riddick. But I'm wondering, I think the reason that video games based on movies are so terrible, the ones that actually are terrible, it's because... they try to follow the plot of the movie, and they only have that source from which to draw. But if you've got a comic book or stuff or lots of material from which to draw, your game's going to be better.
When you have something like Goldeneye, it doesn't matter. You're going around shooting people.
Yeah. Goldeneye was good. I think it didn't need to be Goldeneye, though. That could have just been a shooter.
I know.
Right? Yeah. That literally followed the plot of the movie. Star Wars, a lot of those games made stuff.
Well, I heard the Alien game is really good, Alien Isolation.
That's based on movies.
So I have a question about Alien. Did the movie come out first, or was there a comic book? Did the comics
come
out first?
No, it's an original creation. Yeah.
Okay. I knew there was comic books, and sometimes I've thought the comics came after, and then found out that there was an old 1940s comic or something like that. Howard the Duck, for example.
Okay. How about this? Little segue. How about the movie based on the ride? How was Pirates?
Loved it.
It was a really good movie. I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Plus, do you think all the low ratings are unjustified?
I never read any of the ratings or their criticisms, so maybe that's why I enjoyed
it. It's literally rated a point above Baywatch.
That's another one I want to see. Maybe
I want to see it, but I expect that to be a terrible movie that I'm going
to
laugh.
Be terrible, but be funny, right? Yeah. And the little bits that I've seen from Baywatch, I probably won't go watch Baywatch in the theater, but as soon as that hits Netflix or Hulu or whatever, I'm going to watch that. Pirates, it was the action that you expect from Pirates. I think maybe people were rating it low because they didn't like it. All the Pirates movies, there's so many, and they're not too different from each other. It's kind of like Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
The Star Wars movies have the
or
same.
Or the Fast and the Furious. Or the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, if you wanted to go see... It's like the Transformers. You want to go see robots fighting, you go watch Transformers. You're not going there for a big old plot. Did you think the plot was great on Pirates, Anna?
I thought it was pretty good on Pirates. Yeah. It was a typical Pirates movie.
So was it predictable?
It was their plot.
For the most part, it was pretty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the Pirates, that the reason that I really like the Pirates is these just crazy fight scenes, right? You got Jack fighting in this freaking water wheel as it's rolling down the mountain, and they're going doing all this crazy stuff. That's why I watch Pirates, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the plots are kind of funny and weird and whatever, but you watch it for that, and then you watch it for Johnny Depp because that character. I just love that character. Mm. He's funny, and you want to hate him, but you just can't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think, Anna?
I feel the same way. I I think you watch it for the fact that Johnny Depp, he's Jack Sparrow, and he gets into all of these crazy antics. And, like, it's just such a funny movie. I enjoyed all the jokes that they kind of put throughout the movie. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the one you see in the trailer, the horologist one, it's just hilarious. I crack up every time I hear it. I watched that trailer a couple times, and I crack up at it every time. It's extended in the movie. They go on for a little bit longer about it. It's pretty good.
What I like is, the introduction of, some of the additional characters that they have for the movie. Because, the son of, Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann. I really enjoyed, kind of watching and seeing what he was doing with, the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting, and he had some twists and turns along the way, but you kind of had generally an idea of what was going on, and you were like, yeah, that plot twist, I saw it coming a ways out, but again, I don't watch those for the deep plots, so
that's good.
So,
I know.
But yeah, it did not disappoint as far as the action sequences and everything goes. The boat battles were pretty awesome, which I think it's hard to pull off some good boat battles because there's usually so much going on that, you can't, and the logistics there is just hard. Yeah.
Much camera move.
Yeah. But, I thought this was really good. So.
So, what would you rate it?
I don't know, a B.
I'd probably give it, an A-. It was a pretty good movie.
So theater worthy?
Oh, yeah. You got to see it in the theater. All you got to see it in the big D.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So go find the biggest screen. Go watch it there. Mm-hmm. Comfiest seats.
Yeah, better hurry too, Bill. It's going to get kicked out.
Yeah. It's competition is fierce. Because
Mummy and Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I am looking forward to the Mummy.
So am I.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
I hope so much that it doesn't screw up everything straight off the bat again. Because this will be the second time they technically tried to reboot this monster franchise.
No, it's because Tom Cruise has weird abilities to be able to, appear like he's going to be in a bad movie, and then he makes a movie again.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
He's remarkable in that he is in movies that generally break even barely, or are... But they tend to be pretty good, at least. Edge of Tomorrow, that was a failure in the U.S.
Oh, and it's because they named it that instead of Live, Die, Repeat.
I'm not wild about either titles.
So I was boycotting Tom Cruise for a long time because he went on this big media campaign promoting Scientology and telling people that postpartum depression wasn't the thing and everything like that. And I'm like, I'm not okay with that. So I stopped watching his movies. I just completely would not pay money to see his movies in any way, shape, or form. I liked him before that, but for purely non-movie-related reasons.
Not the,
But over the last couple years, I haven't, probably 5-10 years, I haven't really heard much on that subject. He kind of dialed it back a little bit.
So let me ask you this.
So I'm good to go. I'll go watch The Mummy, but I wish Brendan Fraser was in it instead.
Are you going to only watch his recent movies, or are you still going to boycott the movies that were
released?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's not because he's going to make a lot of money off me watching them now because I'll watch them on Netflix.
That's always been true.
Whatever.
Ah,
well, I mean, going to the theater, it's
there's a lot
one
of money.
More, one,
well,
yeah,
there's lots of profit in Netflix. Otherwise, they wouldn't make those deals.
Well, yeah, sure, but I don't think watching. I don't
you
think they see
the
per
one
view.
Person watching.
They don't.
It.
I don't think they see per view. But I don't really know what their model is.
It's interesting to see a man try to work his way into watching movies he wants to watch.
No,
remember at the height of the X-Men movies, Bryan Singer may have been fondling little boys, and that didn't deter me at all.
He was exonerated, but
no, he was saying that he liked his movies, so it was more his attitude. It was what drew him away from him at the time. Mm-hmm. Now he's like, oh yeah, go willing to watch those movies. It doesn't matter that he was,
he's not
cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs at then. But he's not now.
He's still probably a crazy Scientologist.
Yeah.
He's just keeping it to himself and not pushing it on others.
Yeah,
and
it's
think
called
that
PR.
Everybody's well, yeah, and that's fine. Your personal beliefs are your personal beliefs, and if you want to tell people about it, that's one thing. But when you start trying to push it on other people, that's why I there's one episode of My Name Is Earl that I skip because Jenny McCarthy's on it, you know? And because she goes out and she pushes this stuff and there's real consequences to it. And him going out there and saying that, that like psychology is not a real science and postpartum depression, you can just
wish away.
Don't be depressed. I don't even remember
Ted,
the specifics.
Will you boycott this podcast if I say psychology is not a real science?
I don't. You have no sway, and I'm not giving. You're not getting money for this podcast, anyways. But
that's right. That's yeah.
And he also could technically come across the table, and that's the
what?
End. Jordan.
I know he's been working out.
Yeah,
lately,
true.
So but might be for the 2 days.
But to go back to the thing, if I was still boycotting him, I would not watch his movies even on Netflix. I might illegally download them and watch them that way if I thought they'd be good, but. Now that he's not, I don't have a problem with that. But my original point was that I don't think that, like, any money that might be made off of me watching his back catalog at this point, barring purchasing the movies and stuff like that, is a drop in the bucket.
Can you read the works of Thomas Jefferson? Because he, to the end of his days, well, I guess
I
when
I
he
don't
died,
think I ever
he,
have.
Yeah.
He, what about H.P. Lovecraft? He's a racist.
I know.
Until he died.
H.P. Yeah, he was.
He is good.
I read his whole catalog.
Wait, but there's a difference between hating or disliking,
yeah.
Not liking the person and
no, but
not
I don't.
Liking their art.
Well, yeah, and that's why I don't care. Like, that's why I told Jordan. I was like, right before I was making a joke about Chris Pratt. I was like, Chris Pratt could be slitting baby seals' throats in Hollywood like the day Guardians 2 came out, and I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
And go watch it because it doesn't matter.
I responded to that. I one-upped him. I was like, Chris Pratt could club them so that they just have traumatic brain injury and die slowly, maybe drowning, and I'd still watch his movies.
Okay, yeah. So his name is literally a fried rodent, Crisp Rat. And I can only hear that now. Every time someone says his name, now that's all I ever hear.
Yeah,
so,
it's like,
and now you, dear listeners, will only ever hear that.
Yeah, whatever.
But,
Crispy Rat.
Yeah.
Crisp.
But, like,
I know.
It's hard being ethical, and I mean, like...
Mm-hmm. Like Mel Gibson?
Lovecraft will never see a dime from me ever reading his stuff.
That's true.
And his racism will not be furthered from me reading his stuff, so I have no problem with that. Plus, I think you got to frame a person in the time in which they lived. And I'm not justifying saying that it was okay to be a slave owner or to be racist at any time. But, you know, you wonder what they would be like if they were alive today. Because I think that there would be a difference.
It's true. It is easy to criticize people like 200 years later. We're like, ugh.
I mean, because
I'm like, would you really be the person who's like, this is wrong. It's like, I don't know.
You know, the people may be looking back at us at this time in our lives, and they're like, look at how they treated animals.
Yeah.
Like, they
yeah.
just, they,
or
they,
even
they ate hamburgers
other
all the time, and those yeah. things were just tortured daily with mm-hmm. electrical prods and forklifts and stuff. So, you know, nobody's perfect. We're a product of the time
was
in which
that,
we
that's
live.
Actually, Star Trek, when they went back to save the whales. Made fun of that. They're like, you know, oh, I have to relieve the pressure in this person's brain. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to drill a hole in it. Well, that sounds pretty archaic.
Yeah, so.
You know, so it's like, here, take this pill. Okay, great. Swelling's down. Bye.
Yeah.
all right, well, let's go with the other movie you watched with also lots of controversy behind the actress in it.
Mm-hmm.
Was Snatched.
Okay.
Not to get confused with Snatch.
Snatch, yeah, that's
the
a little confusing.
Yeah.
And I think both of them chose their title for a very specific reason.
Yeah.
Which we won't get into on the podcast, but that's actually what she's been criticized a lot for. Good old Amy Schumer, right? Amy Schumer, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amy
yeah.
Schumer.
Yeah. Is like her jokes are very sexual and genital based and, you know. But I don't have a problem with it. I like her a lot. I think she's really funny. I didn't like her special too much, her latest special on Netflix. I thought it was mildly funny, but I've always liked her movies. And we went and saw this with my mom, and we all loved it.
Yeah, the three of us enjoyed it. It was really funny. It was Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn, which you gotta love Goldie Hawn. I mean, what movies has she been in lately? Like, nothing that I can think of.
Well, that's why when she hit the news and she was babysitting and...
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, she's back.
Yeah, so I was excited to see Goldie Hawn. And you know, she's getting up there in the age. I think she's in her 70s.
She's the same age roughly as Kurt Russell, I think.
Yeah, which is like 72, something like that. I looked it up when we left the theater, so, but I'm not good with the remembery parts. But yeah, like, it's weird that it's not like the second one. There it is, down to, yeah. So,
born in 45. Let's go with that.
45. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, 72.
So, yeah. Dang. So, and she looks really good, and she was, you know, she was still just a really good actress. Like, I really enjoyed, like, her role in the movie and everything.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was like a mother and daughter trip.
Yeah, that's why we, so, like, we went and saw it on Sunday because my mom lives in Boise, and so we were, like, she was coming down for my daughter's graduation, and so we did a Mother's Day thing on this Sunday for my mom. Just delayed it a little bit. So this was our Mother's Day movie, which, yeah, and it was fantastic. We all really enjoyed it. They had, I thought it was pretty clever. The, you know, some of the plot points were a little weird, but, you know, overall it was great. And if you like it was kind of slapsticky, and it was, some of it was a little bit more thoughtful humor. Not a lot, but some of it was like you had to think about what they had said and everything, but, and there was some really unexpected points when they're in the middle of the jungle and talking to their guide through the jungle and stuff like that, but yeah.
No, good slapstick. Like, all right, yeah. Well, what do you rate it then?
I'd say it's a B. I liked it less than Pirates, but not significantly so. You know, so okay. Pirates was probably like a B+, and this was probably like a B, almost a B-.
All right.
I'd also give it a B. I thought it was a really funny movie. It wasn't as actiony or entertaining as Pirates or like some of the other newer movies that we have seen. But I thought the dynamic like between the two actresses was really good, actually.
Yeah, the chemistry between Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer was really good, the way they interacted. And then Amy Schumer's brother in the movie was kind of weird, but they had like a sibling rivalry type thing that was kind of funny to watch too. Yeah.
So is it theater worthy though?
It's
a comedy.
You know,
I guess.
It's a comedy, but it's got a little bit of action. I don't think so. I think you could watch it at home just fine.
But rent it when it comes out, or
Netflix or
Redbox,
yeah, stream
all that.
It, whatever.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then we'll go with our last one. We actually all saw this one. And it was Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Okay, I have to first say, I love the soundtrack. Junkie XL makes an amazing movie soundtrack. If you're wondering who he is, he made the soundtrack for Mad Max.
I didn't really notice.
Really?
The
yes.
Ah.
The main song through that they, I felt like they kind of played it a lot through it. There was other songs, but there was the main song you usually hear, is that. That's Junkie XL.
Huh.
And I think there's categories for scores. Like, you either notice it because it was really good and really memorable, like Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
Like, the soundtrack of that, the score on that was just really, really powerful. And, like, the movie was, like, half the visuals of what was going on and, like, half the music, right? And then you've got stuff like this where, for me at least, I didn't even really recognize the music was there. I'm sure if I watched it without the music that
you'd notice.
I'd be like, what the crap is going on? This is terrible. But like you didn't notice. And then you have others like what was it called? It was a Western with Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday.
Tombstone.
Yeah, and they had that like stupid like that the I recognized the score there and it irritated me because it was like the Gilligan Island theme over and over again or something like that. It was just like I kept thinking, 3-hour tour, like over and over
again.
See,
and that's, I think you're going to like Westworld when you finally watch that. Because I think the music does such an amazing job. And
it's
they take
music.
These like popular songs like
Black
Hole
Sun.
Thing
yeah,
put
that.
Them on the piano reel. Or,
cool. Raman Jawabi, who does Game of Thrones, he does all the music and arrangement for Westworld.
Yes. And I ended up buying the Westworld soundtrack. I was like, this is amazing. I love it.
Do you remember the music?
With
Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman? Not really, but...
See, I guess maybe that's why I noticed it. I've been listening to that song. I've been listening to the other song, Warriors, by Fall Out Boys.
There was one song that you said that you liked on in there, wasn't there?
I can't remember.
I thought you were like, I like this song.
That was on the preview.
Okay, it's one of the two songs then. It's either the one by Junkie XL or it's the Warrior song. Is there words to this song, basically, is what defines the difference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know.
Basically, one has words, because, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, is the other one? The other one has lots of bass.
Was it the one for Atomic?
Yeah, it was for a different movie.
Oh, Atomic Blonde.
On the preview.
I love Atomic. I want to see that movie. That preview.
I was excited for it.
Yeah.
That's going to be good.
That has so many people in it. So many famous.
I can't believe I forgot the word excited.
And Baby Driver is going to have an awesome soundtrack.
Oh, man, I'm excited for that movie.
What was that train movie that they actually had? Because I think it was
Murder on the Orient Express.
I believe that the song that I enjoy is like the Imagine Dragons song.
Yeah.
Believer. Yeah. And they actually did that really well on that particular preview.
I might have to listen to that one again.
Yeah.
Bill, did you like the movie?
Which one?
Wonder Woman.
I really did like it. I have to go with lots of high ratings. Best DC Cinematic Universe movie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thus far, by far.
Yeah.
Like, I like Batman v Superman. I was kind of odd. I admit it's not the greatest movie ever, not the worst. Same with Man of Steel. You know, there's still the growing, all this. But Wonder Woman, absolutely loved it.
Yeah, they did a good job.
I thought they did a great job with, you know, where like Thor is like, oh, this man like trying to understand people and, you know, the human race. And so I thought they did a better job with her. It might have helped because it was World War I and there wasn't so much technology. Like, what's the internet?
Yeah.
May have helped, but.
So Anna and I were drawing the conclusion or the parallel between Thor and her. And I think I decided that I liked her immersion into the modern world better than Thor's.
Thor was not very strong.
Well, actually, I think Wonder Woman had a better introduction into like the actual world out of her own world. But I don't know. Right after the movie though, I kind of felt like I couldn't really follow her as like the iconic woman for some reason. Just like it seemed like I felt like I needed some more background to this. It's kind of piqued my interest to actually want to go back and actually look at the comics for Wonder Woman.
And maybe that's what the good thing is instead of it being like, here's everything you need, you know, having that peak. But I do kind of see, like, even though I know quite a bit about Wonder Woman, I kind of slightly agree. It felt like there was something. Definitely the strong female, all this, but it's almost like seems like it might be missing just a little something, and I can't figure out what it'd be, but I still think it's good.
I think it's an excellent movie, and I think the actress did a really good job portraying Wonder Woman. I think that even like the weapons that they used, I thought that they actually did really well with just how they incorporated that, her lasso and everything else like throughout the movie. It made it really entertaining, and it actually did kind of help with the story, along with like the romance aspect of it. I felt like that kind of helped push it further, but I also felt that during the movie that some of her motivation to kind of move forward, I think that's kind of what also kind of made it hard to kind of follow.
If you had to put a letter grade to your review, what would it be?
Not fully an A+, but definitely a good solid A. I'd have to go with. I think. Yes. I'm going to say this statement. Yep. I liked it better than Guardians 2. Okay. Actually,
no contest for me.
Really? Yeah, there's that. There was.
Guardians 2 is a C for me. I was not impressed with that movie.
I liked Guardians 2 better than this, but yeah, like the thing is that sometimes these movies tend to dry out and that are long. Like Batman v Superman, I complain. I don't know how long that one was, but
that was 2.5.
Yeah, it was like on par with this one.
Three.
So
this one is 2 hours 21 minutes, and I kind of wished it was longer. Like, I didn't get bored at the first part of it. Like, they had me pretty much right from the beginning all the way to the end. And I wish, I don't know, it's not a spoiler to talk about what happened in Batman versus Superman, is it?
No, not even remotely.
Yeah.
So, because this one ended where Batman versus Superman was almost ending. Like, because she was rushing off to, like, help them at the very end of this
one. Yeah.
I hope that's not a spoiler. I don't think it is.
It almost seemed like it was...
Because you knew it's going to happen.
Yeah,
anyway,
moving towards Justice League, definitely.
But I wanted, like, I really wanted to, like, have her just run off and, like, save Batman again, just because like that was my favorite part of Batman versus Superman, and I would have loved to see that at the very end of this movie to really just tie
them together.
That would have been awesome.
I wish, and I was looking so hard for it. It was a total, just more of a nerd fandom thing. I wish I was seeing a boom tube, which is what Steppenwolf, the bad guy in the Justice League movie, Darkseid's son, uses to come to this planet. Is they have these portals, and they're called boom tubes. Mm-hmm. And I wish it just seemed like this portal kind of open up. It's kind of a black,
right?
Yeah, right there. She's you know, going to off. You're like, oh, there's events, and then you just see this boom tube open. I'm like, that would have been awesome.
It was interesting how they didn't do their secret scene or anything too for this.
No secret scene.
That was the decision.
As soon as the credits start rolling, they do look pretty.
Yeah. The credits were really cool looking. I kind of wanted to stay just to watch, like, just to see those.
Yeah.
But we were heading out anyways. But
it was kind of late. Yeah.
Like the. 2 hours, 20 minutes, and totally worth it. I loved every minute of it. I didn't think there was any parts that really drug on, like you see in longer movies like that. And I actually heard an NPR review of this that claimed that the movie should have, like, ended after some of the World War II sections, like, halfway through the movie. And I'm like, that's just dumb. So I disagree with NPR.
Joe, I know you agree with everyone.
What?
You agree with their assessment.
Yeah, like, no, I like that movie. Because I was telling Jordan, the main reason I didn't like Guardians, and the Marvel movies that are losing me is because they've become so much about their jokes, it's fake. Like, when I watch it, I thought Guardians 2 was a sitcom. Like, they might as well have had a laugh track. Because, like, this, I like the humor of just their interactions where they're like, I'm new to your world, you're new to mine. And, like, natural humor becomes a consequence of that instead of just, like, hey guys, in the 3 years since the last Guardians, we literally just tell jokes to each other 24/7 because that's how real people interact.
I don't think that's... I don't know. Like, it started off, like, the intro sequence, did you not enjoy that?
It was okay.
With little baby Groot dancing.
It was drawn out, but...
It might have been drawn out, but it was funny. I thought it was... I was laughing the whole time. Like, I want to see it again because I think I missed stuff that was just really awesome and, like... No?
I thought it was a great intro.
Yeah.
I loved Baby Groot dancing around.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean the rest of the movie, though, and that's what I liked about this one, because it was establishing her as a character. It also didn't really, like, it didn't push the universe forward, but it's because it was an origin story, so it didn't need to. But like they said with Alex Guardians, it was the pointless movie. It didn't contribute anything to the universe, and it was just like, hey, these guys hang out and tell us jokes to each other all day.
This did make me think about... I know I've said in previous podcasts how I like the epic stories, the long stories, and the good stories. And it made me think a little bit about what's the difference between a sequel and an epic story. Like what's the real difference? Like, you got Rocky, right? Was that an epic story or was it just a bunch of sequels? I think it was just a bunch of sequels, right? It was just one guy fighting. And I don't know that there was
real... Well, that's what I'd call, like, Lord of the Rings continuity. Or The Hobbit. That is more of an epic story.
Well, those were epic stories, and they were written out in book format ahead of time and kind of thought out.
Yeah.
So maybe Guardians of the Galaxy was just a sequel instead of this epic story.
Yeah.
Unless it gets identified to be part, you know, actual... Because it did seem like it was a one-off from the rest of the MCU.
But... Like, the first one didn't seem like it was going to tie in with the rest of the stuff either, was it?
Yeah, no, actually, Guardians has been feeling like a lot of like, and what's happening in the other side?
Well, they
had
the Thanos, and that's what disappointed me too, is because I'm like, take advantage, like, you're having Infinity Wars next year, like, why was Thanos not in your movie? Like, that's your job. That's how you could have made the movie, like, move forward the overall plot.
Yeah.
And so I like that. I think the DC movies are doing a better job at feeling more cohesive because of that. Because, like you said, Ted, they could have easily extended that and had her, like, walk into Batman versus Superman, where a lot of the Marvel movies, they are pretty much all standalone movies
that are
just kind of self-referential.
I think that's why I liked Rogue One so much, too. Was it Rogue One? Yeah, Rogue One.
The
Star Wars one where they
tied it.
Yeah, it's true. You could like pick up the New Hope.
That was perfect. Like, yeah. I just love that because it just went exactly right into it, like one after another.
Maybe that Star Wars is more of an epic instead of sequels.
Yeah, well, no, the first three is, yeah. But the second three, I wouldn't necessarily say so. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think they tried to make it an epic. They tried to extend the story. But I don't. I think ultimately they don't. And I'm an apologist for the prequels.
Prequels?
Yeah. I'm like, they're not as bad as everybody says. But I mean, they're not. I like them, but they're also not this epic story that I like to go
and
for.
Maybe that's the other thing is tying what the other stuff that makes a good thing an epic is tying in so much stuff into it. Maybe that's why like I enjoy Rebels and Clone Wars so much. Mm-hmm. It's more of this little bits of story
right.
that turn it into such a
something
large,
bigger. Yeah,
well, and it takes planning, and I think so. The thing is like when I think of epics, I also put Harry Potter in there.
Huh?
But Harry Potter could easily been just a sequel, just a bunch of series of books like sequels, because like I don't think she had planned to make a second book after she wrote that first one, and then it got so popular, and she's like, "Well, I can tell the rest of the story," and so she did well with it. But I don't think it was planned, so it could have ended up being sequels. But I don't think it did. So, it just kind of made me think about what's the difference. You know, you got all the Jaws movies, and you know, what about Back to the Future? I mean, where does that sit?
Back to the Future was there filmed the first. Oh, the first.
No, first one was filmed alone, yeah, and then the second two pulled a Matrix and Lord of the Rings style, and were filmed at the exact same time.
So they did the Star Wars thing where it was a closed. First film that they left enough of out. A cliffhanger
I don't know that was an epic story. Like, I don't think that it really.
But I wouldn't quite call them sequels either. Like, I would almost put Back to the Future in that limbo state.
It's close because, Back to the Future, the first movie was amazing. The second movie was amazing. They're all standalone movies. And they don't need to tie into each other. But they can, but it's kind of loose.
And they also do a good enough job at just barely.
Yeah, the second and the third, like really, really, like we're doing this.
Well, but they also brought in a little bit of the first one with identifying, you know.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think that's somewhere in the middle. And I don't know. I spent a lot of time this last week, like thinking about epic stories versus sequels.
Well, epic stories are mostly fashioned for television now.
I don't think they did epic stories in movie formats. I think they've, like, I don't know any other time.
Yeah, sure. They not in the sequel fashion, but for the very long movies like Ben-Hur and...
Well, they just made a long movie, but they didn't make a bunch of sequels. I mean, maybe Planet of the Apes?
The Lord of the Rings is a good epic story.
Yeah, but it was a book. They just did basing the movie on book. These are... Right.
So there was definitely books and, like... You know, look at The Odyssey and all this. You know, these are epic book stories.
Right.
They are sequels. But, movie-wise, I kind of agree. Either they made one big movie or...
You know, they didn't really split them up in the movies. I think, like I said, The Planet of the Apes, maybe they tried. But I think that they're really trying to put together a cohesive thing. And I'm really enjoying it because, you know, these are good stories. And if you want to sit down and watch it all together, like, it's a good weekend.
And you can... Mm-hmm. I've even seen with... People taking the Marvel Cinematic Universe and making a chronological, like split up all the movies up and made it chronologically where everything belongs. I think the very, very first thing is the beginning of Thor, like the first 10 minutes of Thor, where they fight the ice giants and.
Right. Oh, what? That's another one. There's a lot of previews for it. This is going to be a good season.
Yes.
The Ragnarok, that looks so good.
Yeah, like that looks really funny.
So good.
I know.
Guys, I have to quickly be the naysayer, though.
Okay.
Not too much of a naysayer because my grade is basically Ted's grade. I give it a B. And so I would put it on level with Guardians 2 because I gave that a B. I felt that it was a standard... Marvel, it's a DC movie, but it felt like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It did, because it wasn't super broody like the previous...
They're still killing people, though. That's what I appreciate about it.
What I also thought was interesting is that they weren't like... She wasn't cutting limbs off.
Yeah.
Like, they literally...
It wasn't Logan.
Yeah, they were Definitely, like, she was killing them. There was no question about that. But she was killing them like Captain America kills people.
Right.
Going like, I'm killing you.
But they recognize it, though. That's what I like, where she says it. Because even when I watch, like, the Spider-Man trailer, that stuff kills me. I'm like, that's Disney again, where the Falcon cuts the boat in half, and Tony's like, you could have killed someone. I was like, he killed lots of people. Like, what if someone died? I'm like, I'll throw a Tomahawk missile at a neighborhood, and people are going to die. But the Disney movies are like, oh, no one died.
They were filled with cotton candy.
Like, I don't think anyone technically died until Civil War, and even then it was like three people. They were like, oh, he blew up a building. And I'm like, you know how many buildings have been destroyed like that?
It was more than three people. There was a lot of people that died.
That's why Civil War. Because they were like, remember all those movies we didn't actually identify killing people? Yeah, we murdered thousands.
Yeah.
Well, just in that movie, but they're still doing
that. That's why Civil War happened. Because they said, remember that New York event? Well, thousands of people died there. Like, they were literally going, people died at these movies that we didn't want to identify people dying in.
Yeah. So, I would say, regardless of acknowledging killing and everything like that, putting a movie like this on the same level as Logan, now that that's been mentioned, no way. No way.
No, okay, so you said it was a B. I didn't say that. I said a previous movie was a B.
I thought,
I still have to put that. Okay, Logan definitely was a tearjerker. I have to admit, I do have small issues with the World Wars, and that was special where she got the shock of, you know, injured people. Like, everyone that on the, you know, when they had to fight, died. They didn't have to deal with, you know, the war stuff of people losing a limb. Like, that is just, like, heart-wrenching. The idea of, like, I want to help these people. Mm-hmm. No, we don't have time for this. We have a bigger mission to deal with. Yep. And she's, and that heart-wrenching right there. I'm just like, that part I was just like, oh. So it's true, but it's sad.
Yeah. No, I give it an A, and I think it's better than Logan.
No way.
No, I thought it was better than Logan. I thought it was deeper than Logan, and I liked the action sequences as much as Logan.
No.
I won't say that I like the action sequences better, because I would have preferred it to be more... I mean, if you're going to be wielding a sword, you need to be cutting off limbs, but...
Right.
But...
For a PG-13 movie instead of an R.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'll put it on par, just because, like, the action sequences were just... And there was some really, really good shots. Mm-hmm. And she did the superhero drop, too, so that was fun.
Well, it's okay. I guess it depends on the aesthetic you're looking for. I like the grounded action of Logan, which was pretty grounded, like, especially the opening sequence. It felt raw and brutal. And I detected all the CG Wonder Womans that were necessary
action sequences. I did notice that, actually. Yeah, the elaborate amount of people CG, but I still didn't, where they didn't really... You know, like, get in on the faces. It didn't bother me as much.
Where she was, like, throwing people around with her lasso.
Oh, no, no, that wasn't part of
it. Is it a lasso or a rope?
It's a lasso.
A whip.
It's a lasso that she can control.
Just, it's,
What is a whip but a rope?
Well, no, there's a difference between a lasso and a whip. Because a whip has a handle.
Oh.
This is
then
a
hers
lasso.
Does not have a handle.
Yeah, it looked more like she was a ribbon dancer, which you could appreciate, like, if you like the old kung fu type movies, the ribbon style fighting and stuff. Those are really cool, and they're not super realistic, because it's just a thin sheet of cloth. It's not even, I mean, hit me as hard as you want.
I know.
Yeah, but I love Chris Pine in this movie. I thought he was
really good.
Chris Pine is Captain Kirk. He's
the love interest.
Oh, so he was okay. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. Awesome.
He was really great. And
Spud. I loved Spud in this.
I know, from Train Spotting.
Yeah, he was good. Oh, I
was so excited when I saw him. I'm like, oh my god, it's Spud. And she's like, who? And I'm like, look, it's Spud.
Yeah.
I think I got the same look, too. And I was going, oh, I love this guy. Because I didn't actually pay attention. I was trying to keep enough information out that I didn't want to spoil too much. I thought it was kind of interesting some of the ways they took it with, you know, variations from the comic books. But I enjoyed it.
And the thing is, with that character, like, again, I'm going to try to avoid the spoilers, but she had real compassion for it. And, she recognized his feelings, and, like, I think she probably did the best thing that she could do in the situations. Like, and I think she handled it really well. So I think she showed a depth of character that you don't see in a lot of these movies, personally.
Yeah, she was good. The villains were worthless, so Jordan, I told them I had to concede with that too. I was like, it was guilty of Marvel in that too, with again not giving its worth. They were inconsequential, and all they served was just to further her up to like Wonder Woman of
I
today.
I could see that. Yes,
I do like that they acknowledge their inconsequential.
Yeah, exactly. They handled it really well because they also weren't important to the plot, so it wasn't distracting because it wasn't like. I'm doing all this stuff. It was just like, people are in the movie and then they have their ending that just makes sense.
So did everyone give the ratings?
Oh, yep.
You said a B.
I don't think Anna did.
Did you? What was your rating?
For this one, I don't know. It was actually a pretty good movie, so I'd say somewhere between like B plus or like A minus. Just because the fact that like I felt like I needed kind of more storyline behind Wonder Woman, and I kind of wanted to feel that she was like a strong woman character that was actually coming out for the represent like the hero,
the first
like DC
lead female hero since Elektra,
exactly,
in a movie.
Yeah. Exactly. So like I
the first good female lead move in a movie ever.
If hero, I felt superhero? Like I, you know, had more of an emotional attachment with her, like with the movie, some of the motives and things, I think, kind of affected why I would say, like, kind of like more like a B plus on the movie.
Okay. Well, let's probably, before we start, do our famous last words. You can always give us a call with your ask us questions or if you want anything else at 801-896-GEEK or email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com. You can always follow us on Facebook, Reddit, Instagram, Geeks Are Wired. Search that. With that, we will do famous last words. Ted.
You could follow us on Twitter, but you won't have much luck.
Well, we tweet.
You guys should go check out the Pirates movie or Wonder Woman. They're both great movies to watch.
If you find yourself talking to a one-eyed turtle, don't be alarmed. It might be a small god.
I know that reference. Yeah, read Discworld books. That's what the reference from. Oh. That's my famous last words. It's Terry Pratchett.
Game of Thrones. Yeah. Winter is coming. Winter is here. Let it snow.